This podcast utilizes AI-generated text-to-speech for narration. For further information on why we do this, please listen to the episode titled Why We Use AI Narration.
Welcome to the newest Pan-to-Pen podcast episode, where a chef leaves the kitchen to write a story. In this episode, we'll dive into a unique true tale of a New York City encounter, where the glitz of a Hollywood premiere collided with the everyday lives of Tate and his wife. Join us as we unravel a captivating tale where the boundaries between celebrity glamour and everyday experiences blur against the enchanting backdrop of the city that never sleeps in a story we call Be Patient, Tom Cruise. The traffic on West 57th Street was heavier than usual for the time of day. My wife and I made our way slowly, chatting and observing the people around us as we inched closer to the parking garage we always used next to the Ziegfeld Theater. There was something big going on that night. A large, white, clear-paneled tent lined the sidewalk from 6th Ave to the theater's entrance on 57th. I was driving towards the parking garage when I noticed a New York City police officer gesturing for me to turn, as my indicator was flashing, indicating that I wanted to enter the garage. I turned left and entered the parking lot, where I noticed large crowds braving the stiff wind, standing behind police barricades across from the theater. I drove into the underground garage and handed our car to the parking attendant. We took the two-level elevator up to the street and walked along the entrance drive towards the Ziegfeld. Exiting the garage entrance, we could sense the crowd's attention across the street, turning towards us in anticipation. However, as they realized we were not someone famous, their gaze shifted back to the entrance of the Ziegfeld's theater, where the tent flanked a long red carpet. Two towering men caught our attention as my wife and I approached the entrance. They were both bald, exceptionally well-built, with broad shoulders and muscular arms. Their appearance made me think of a shaved Sasquatch with an imposing stature. They stood on either side of the entrance, staring down at us with a look that made me uneasy. The chill of the winter evening was biting as we stood at the curb, feeling a sense of disorientation. We were still determining which direction to take. Our hearts were set on moving towards Rockefeller Center to capture our annual photos of the stunning decorations and the iconic Christmas tree. Our path was obstructed by the enormous white tent that spanned the entire sidewalk. In front of us, we were met with barricades that were heavily crowded with people, all wrapped up in their thick winter coats, scarves, and hats, braving the wintry winds.
"You want to cross, buddy?"
the police officer who directed me into the garage asked. I nodded but wondered if he would tell us to turn around and go through the 58th Street entrance. Instead, he gestured us towards him.
"Let these people through, they're good,"
the officer called to another officer at the barricade, stopping traffic to allow us to cross. The second officer opened the barricades and parted the crowd, everyone looking at us with curious eyes. We entered the crowd. The barricades closed behind us, and the crowd resumed their places. We walked a little down the block so that we were directly opposite the theater entrance, and could now see the banner extended inside the entire length of the tent. Excitement was in the air as fans eagerly anticipated the arrival of the stars for the premiere of Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol, the fourth installment in the blockbuster franchise. Fans had been waiting for hours in the cold to catch a glimpse of their favorite actors and actresses as they arrived. The atmosphere was electric as the anticipation and excitement built with the arrival of the first actors. My wife and I moved to the front as the crowd mysteriously parted. We saw the cast there as they made their way along the red carpet, stopping at intervals to pose and smile despite the blinding flashes from the cameras aimed at them. We decided to leave after a long parade of actors as we were getting cold. As we went, we saw Tom Cruise and his new wife, Katie Holmes, enter the tent. Katie was noticeably taller than Tom, and despite the distorted clear plastic of the tent, we could see Tom's recognizable smile from across the street. We paused as they took photos, spoke to reporters, and then entered the theater. My wife and I left with the rest of the crowd to take pictures of the Christmas decorations, the winter chill enveloping us as the crowd's warmth left with them. Our photo session in the chilly weather only lasted for an hour. The cold breeze was piercing and we shivered while trying to capture the perfect shots. We decided to leave before another group gathered to see the cast exiting the theater. The once busy sidewalk, still cordoned off by the police with barricades, was now quiet and empty, except for the two uniformed officers from earlier.
"You guys back already? That was quick,"
the officer said, propping one leg on the wall. "It's too cold," I replied as the second officer opened the barrier for the first officer to stop traffic and let us cross the street. A sleek black SUV pulled up to the door as we walked towards the garage entrance. As the vehicle stopped, one of the intimidating Sasquatch men we had passed earlier at the entrance moved towards us with surprising speed. His unbuttoned black trench coat billowed open, revealing his muscular physique. I couldn't help but feel a tinge of intimidation as he extended his hand, palm facing up, motioning us to stop in our tracks.
"Yo, dude, they're good to go. I told them they can go,"
the officer yelled to the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch came to an abrupt halt in the middle of the road, his gaze fixed on the officer, eyes filled with uncertainty as if grappling with the question of who had the ultimate authority in the present scenario.
"I said to let them through,"
the officer demanded. The Sasquatch dropped his arm and turned his body to allow us to pass his enormous frame. We waved to the officer and quickly made our way past the Sasquatch. As we walked towards the theater entrance, we passed between the SUV with its back door open and another Sasquatch holding the theater door ajar. I saw Tom Cruise and his unhappy-looking wife waiting just inside the door to leave before the movie ended. Walking down the ramp towards the elevator, we were a short distance from the vehicle. I looked back and saw Katie Holmes getting into the SUV with Tom Cruise waiting his turn, looking back at us. Our eyes met briefly, and he gave me a nod and a half-smile before getting into the car. "That's right, Tom," I thought. "Take a good look at us. This is the couple that, for one brief moment in your life, your star power meant nothing when New York's finest made you wait so that two regular New Yorkers could take back the streets of the city." As we conclude this chapter on Pan to Pen Podcast, we've journeyed through an encounter where the glitz of Hollywood brushed shoulders with the charm of everyday life. This captivating fusion of worlds reminds us that amidst the glamour, there's beauty in the ordinary and tales of unexpected encounters await in the streets of bustling cities. Remember, the world is a stage where stories intertwine in unforeseen ways. Keep exploring, questioning, and embracing the unexpected narratives that intrigue life. Thank you for being a part of the Pan to Pen community. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe, rate, and follow us. Also, share this podcast with your friends and family. If you enjoyed this story or have any comments, you can find us on social media and Tate's website, which are listed in the show notes. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. Wishing you all the best until we meet again, and remember, stories never end, they just take a break. Until next time, keep the tales alive. Pan to Pen, where a chef explores storytelling beyond the kitchen, is written, produced, and edited by Tate Basildon, who holds the copyright herein.